You're listening to UK Health Radio, where health means more than the absence of illness. Welcome to the Getting Real with Hillary show. I'm Hillary Burns, and each week we explore honest conversations about life, health, and whole person well-being through real stories of resilience, healing, and human connection. This is the Getting Real with Hillary show on UK Health Radio. Welcome to the Getting Real with Hillary show. And today we have a very special guest. His name is Dr. K. Narayan. He has a PhD in quantum physics and has been on the spiritual path since 1996. Through advanced energetic practices, he became a channel for Divine Mother, the source of the Divine Feminine. With assistance from Divine Mother, he creates energetic tools for spiritual transformation. He is the founder of Children of Infinity, a nonprofit community dedicated to empowering light workers. Welcome, Dr. K.
Thank you, Hilary.
So we met, can I just say, we met in a spiritual mastery course given by Mind Valley. We connected, and Dr. K, I think you reached out to be on the show, but then he told me about what he was doing with his organization, Children of Infinity. They were having a seven-day healing course, right? Yes. And so it just called to me, and I did it, and I've been participating with his organization ever since, and it just felt like that was the right place for me. And I'm very grateful. I'm very inspired by what he has done, and I think once you hear his story, you will be too. So thank you for letting me say that, and I guess, I know you said your first spiritual, when you read the autobiography of a yogi was when you first got your eyes opened. Anything you want to say about that?
Sure.
I never read that book, but I might get it after.
Yes.
Go ahead.
So the journey began for me in 1996 when I was just a high school kid. And that's when I read this book called Autobiography of a Yogi. Now, before that point, I was just doing regular things. Go to school to get an education so that I could go to college, get a job, live a normal life. But after reading the book, my worldview changed because I suddenly realized that there is more to life than just doing the normal stuff that society teaches you to do. And that's where my quest for enlightenment began. And that was the beginning of my journey 30 years ago on the spiritual path.
So, okay. So I know you you read it and you got, enlightened, however you say it. You were woken up. And then, but you still went to college, right? But then, and tell me if I'm saying your story. I was just reading it to try to get to remember. You saw quantum physics,
yes,
right? You were studying physics, and then you found quantum physics, and you were like, ooh, this could be good, right? So,
yes.
All right, you want to talk about that?
Yeah, so I started reading a lot more about consciousness and yoga and meditation after reading that book, because he talked about enlightenment and that's what I wanted. So I started exploring different tools, whatever tools were there available in India. And through reading lots of books, that also inspired me to start looking into science. So I got my bachelor's in engineering physics. And then I came here to the US to get a PhD in quantum physics. And the whole journey is, I got so excited when this was first year in college. We had this course on quantum physics. And there's a mystical aspect to quantum physics, which is, if you look at classical physics versus quantum physics, there are so many things which are, even now, we don't fully understand quantum physics. And that's what inspired me to pursue a degree in quantum physics, which I eventually got a degree. I got a PhD in physics from the University of Texas at Austin. So that was the conceptual foundation for my work that was to come later.
So you learned programming. Was that still,
yes,
during that time?
Yes. So while getting the degree, I think this was last year during my degree, I got married, and then I started thinking about how do I support my family. So at that time, I also got the inspiration to leave the academic world and actually work in the corporate world. And at that time, I didn't understand it. But looking back, now I understand that that was exactly the right environment I needed to learn about leadership, which would show up much later in my life. Getting the PhD, I started working for a corporation. And that's when, I think in 2011, I had an awakening, which was the Kundalini awakening.
Okay, one second. I'm writing that down so we don't forget where we are. But you had like a something to learn programming, right? Because that wasn't part of physics.
Yes.
You just had that thing. Now, I know now you develop all your websites. I mean, you do an amazing job with that to me. I don't know if you're the one doing all that, but it's an incredible website. It works. It's simple. You know, we get your email. Like, is that all you from what you learned?
Yes.
Yeah. So I think, my opinion, that's why you were guided to learn programming. Yes. So you could create all this, right?
Yes. Yes. Yeah, exactly. So my path is I got the conceptual framework with the PhD, but then working in the programming world, that's where I got the actual hands-on experience rather than just the academic experience. And that was valuable for me when I started this nonprofit.
Right. Okay. So, all right. So 1996, you read the book. You got to America.
2003.
Okay. And then where did you meet your wife? Here or?
Yes.
In Texas? Is that where you met?
So we met through family friends.
Okay. Was it arranged?
It was not arranged it wasn't completely arranged, but it wasn't completely like what they call love marriages in India.
Okay.
So it was an introduction, but we connected and then we got married in 2008.
Okay.
So she was getting her master's in biotechnology at that time in Boston. I was in Texas. I was getting my PhD. And that's when we got married.
Oh. So is that when you went to New York?
Like, so after graduation in 2010 is when I went to New York.
Okay. So then you go to New York. You're in the big world, the corporate world, and had you left the mystical piece behind, or you were still doing stuff like until you had the Kundalini? We're getting there, but until you had the Kundalini, had you forgotten about it? You were just chasing the corporate, or was it always still there?
Well, it was always there. In fact, what happened in 2000 when I started the job, I was excited because as a grad student, I was poor. Then I get this job. This is a six-figure starting salary. I said, man, what an amazing opportunity.
Yeah.
And I started working. And it was really exciting at the beginning. But then gradually, there was an emptiness in what I was doing.
Mm.
And that emptiness began to grow. And then finally in 2011, just before the awakening, I was, I would say, at a low point where I was actually depressed. Because I thought, all my life I have meditated, I have pursued the spiritual path, but what am I doing now? I'm just a salaryman working for a corporation. What's the point of this life?
Right.
And I think that low point is what triggered the awakening in 2011.
Okay, so tell us about the awakening now.
So this is, I experienced the awakening. The way Kundalini works is it's an intelligent energy which is present in every human being, just like the DNA. So if you look at the body, it is created by this molecule, which is called the DNA. It has its own intelligence because a single molecule can create the entire body. How amazing is that? Now, there is a spiritual intelligence similar to the DNA, that's Kundalini, except it doesn't come activated when we are born. It has to be activated through spiritual work and seeking and all the spiritual practices. So for me, when it awakened, suddenly I could experience the world other than the five senses. I could start seeing energy moving in my body, and then I would see energy moving in my spine up and down. I could also, for a couple of days, it was very intense, where I slept only maybe a few hours a day, and I ate a fraction of my diet. Yeah, and I was just meditating like 20 hours a day. But the effect kind of wore off in, I think it was a week or so. After a week, it was manageable. For a week, it was insane. Then it was manageable.
Were you working? Were you going to work? I was going to work,
but I took time off because I couldn't work. So I said, okay, let me stay home. People are going to be they're going to be worried if I go to job in this condition. So I took a, I think. I
what was a, it like? Like it just started? You just started feeling this energy? Like,
yeah.
Like out of nowhere? Wow.
Like you could see it? I would say it's out of nowhere, but because I've been meditating for all these 30 years. So I think it was an accumulation of this practice. Plus it was also that point in my life where I was really desperate.
Mm.
So it was an act of grace, I guess.
Yeah. And now I think we could take our commercial break. And then when we come back, we'll get the rest of the story. All right.
UK Health Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
What if your worst dreams aren't your enemy?
Falling, cheating, being chased, naked, drowning, losing teeth. What if I fail? What if something goes wrong?
I'm Teresa Chung, dream expert, best-selling author, and co-host of The Healing Power of Your Dreams. And in my latest title, Extreme Dreaming, I reveal a powerful truth. There are no bad dreams.
They feel so real, but that's so you remember them.
They're messages, signals, transformative gifts guiding you toward clarity.
Click on the Extreme Dreaming discount banner link on UK Health Radio homepage and learn to decode even your darkest dreams.
Extreme Dreaming.
Are you ready to listen?
UK Health Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
All right. Most people don't talk about spirituality. What is it in
from the scientific perspective?
Yeah, from a science perspective. I would think people would be fascinated, but I don't know if people, I don't think people were doing it then.
No. This was. So let me tell you the rest of the story.
Okay, sorry.
So this was early. I didn't even know if anybody would show up, but few dozen people actually did show up and they were interested and they said, let's have it again. And they had more questions. They wanted to connect more. They wanted to connect as a community. So that very first meeting gave me ideas that there is a need for what I have to offer.
And was it in person?
No, it was all online. I think there was a webinar platform at that point. I don't even remember the name. This was pre-Zoom.
And so people just, like you just posted the meetup and they came.
Yes.
That's amazing because, you know, I've tried so many things where no one came. So I'm like, that's amazing. Like, it's amazing. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That obviously you had a different energy than I've ever had, but okay. So good. So they came. How many people came?
I think there were like 40 people.
Whoa. That's incredible. There was a story in the book where there was a guy who nobody showed up, but that wasn't you.
No.
I think it was in the book. You use it as an example, I thought.
Yes. That was on leadership. Yes.
But that was not you. Okay, good.
That wasn't me.
I didn't think that was your story. Okay. All right. So 40 people came and they said, we got to do this again. And you were like, okay.
Right.
Did you still feel insecure?
That's what people want. We can do that.
So you did another one.
Yes. So I did another one. And this is right before the COVID pandemic. So as soon as I started this group, I think a month out, there was the lockdown. And then suddenly this thing called Zoom popped up. And I could connect to anybody in the world. So I said, wow, this is insane. I'm at the right place at the right time. So I started connecting with people. And then I started thinking about how to grow the organization. And in pretty much in a couple of months, there was a huge explosion in this community. And that's when I knew that I had to do something bigger than just this local group. So that was my higher self nudging me that you need to be at this place at this time so that you can take advantage of this opportunity of COVID. There was a huge awakening in terms of spiritual awareness and people going within during that COVID time.
So how did they find you? Just Facebook or like?
No, so I started, so Meetup had an option at that point where you could start hosting virtual events in other cities.
Oh.
So I said, okay, this is the perfect time. So I started putting the events out there in all of US. And then slowly people found out from other countries, Canada and UK.
Okay, so then you just kept doing events. What kind of events were they?
So the events I started with, these were mostly just understanding spirituality from a scientific perspective. That was the focus instead of religion.
Right, okay. And did you branch out to meditations and stuff?
Yes. So that's when, after a while, I said, okay, this is, I need to create a nonprofit organization, really think about what I have to offer. And that's when I started this nonprofit called Children of Infinity. And I think that was the next step. As soon as I started that organization, then doors started opening for me so that I could do more. So when I started as a spiritual teacher. There is nothing wrong with that, except I found that when people come on the spiritual path, the thing they need the most is not knowledge, they need healing.
Mm.
Except that I wasn't a healer.
Oh.
So I said, I need to find somebody who can teach me how to heal. And that's when I started exploring, and pretty soon I run into my teacher. His name is John Chandler. He's a direct disciple of Maharishi Mahesh Yogi, who started Transcendental Meditation Movement. And I connected with John.
How did you find him? How did you meet him?
I don't even remember. I think I went to some website. Then I started looking into remote energy healing. Then there was a link to John's website, I guess. And he talked about Divine Mother. And I said, this sounds a little crazy. But let me see if this guy is real. Because I was skeptical at that point. And I remember the first time I connected with him, I asked him, how do you heal? And his answer was, I work with Divine Mother and I create tools that people can use to heal themselves. And when I heard that, I said, this guy must be crazy. Mm-hmm. Because I have never heard of any human being saying they work with the divine. Mostly it's about praying to the divine and hoping that you get what you need.
Right.
So in terms of a worldview, he was at a completely different place compared to where I was. He was working with Divine Mother and I was skeptical. But then I said, okay, teach me what you have. Yes. So he said, take this initiation. This is a transmission of energy from Divine Mother. And once you take the initiation, you'll experience the energy. So I took that class and I understood what he had. He had something that is extremely rare.
So, okay. You took the class and you experienced the transmissions and you knew that it was real.
Yes.
How did you know? You just knew.
It's just your body. I mean, I could go into a different dimension pretty much. When I was in that energy field, my sense of self expanded so much. I knew this is real. This is true spiritual technology.
Wow. Because I know, like in your book, Have we showed them your book yet? Well, it's here. Well, all the places you talk about, you can either ride a bike to California from New York or you can take a plane. And that this kind of energy or meditation is the plane.
Yes.
Because it's not, tell me if I'm saying it wrong. You're not trying to, like in regular meditation, you're trying to quiet your thinking and la, 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 la. And you didn't have a lot of progress. But when you started with this, you did. You had a lot quicker.
Yes.
Like what, what changed?
So that,
yeah.
Yes. Thank you. Great question. So when we do the regular meditation, that's contemplative meditation, where we use the mind to hopefully change the patterns. So we are using the mind to change the mind. And that's okay, but it's also very slow because you have to become aware, you have to analyze your thoughts, you have to try to quiet it down. You might do some self-inquiry and all of that is good. And I did that for a long time in my life. And I did see some progress, but I didn't see transformation. Okay. When I started working with Divine Mother's energy, what I understood is that the mind itself is a creation of underlying patterns, just like a software running a computer. If you see a computer, you see certain things on a computer, you don't try to change that on the screen by painting something different. You go to the deeper layer of what is creating that, you go to the cause, and these causes are called samskaras in the yogic tradition. So samskaras are like programs that keep running. If you think about what makes a human being the way they are, it's because of all the patterns of how they think, how they behave, what they like, what they don't like, right? It's all of programming that becomes automatic over time.
Is that the subconscious?
It's something even below the subconscious.
Below it, okay.
This is the root of karma. What is what we know as karma? Karma is not just what you do and then result what you get. Karma is the basic programming of how a human being is put together. If you think about why do some people like alcohol a lot versus some people don't like alcohol at all? Because there is an underlying programming that makes people attracted to certain things and not attracted to other things.
So where, I mean, I've heard of the subconscious, I've heard of the, what do they call it? The non-conscious or the something like, so where,
but collective conscious, yeah.
Is that located anyplace or it's just part of our energy? Like where does
so there's a universal field of energy.
Okay.
You can call it any name, but I'm talking specifically about a human being.
Okay.
So a human being is created from this energy field, but they have their own imprint of the energy.
Huh. Okay.
It's like you can take clay and you can make different things from clay, right? You can make an animal, you can make a human being, you can make different things. That clay has become concrete and it has taken a shape. And that's how human beings are. We have certain tendencies. And these tendencies have been collected over a long period of time, not just this lifetime, but many, many lifetimes, if people believe in reincarnation.
So it's just something inside us.
Yes. It's the core of what makes us who we are. It's the programmatic pattern that runs itself and creates the behaviors and tendencies that we have.
So it's not like it's our fault or we did something to get them. They just were there.
Yeah. Wow. They are, I mean, they have been accumulated over a period of time, which might be like, for example, we pick up certain patterns in childhood because we don't know how to cope with things.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
So that's a very simple example. Unless we examine that pattern, we will keep running that pattern. But after we become aware, how do we change it? And that's where you can either do meditation, you can do breath work, you can do lots of things, or you can have this advanced technology that can work directly with your samskaras the underlying pattern, and it can begin to change the foundation of who you are. And that's what I experienced with John.
So it works on on your energy. You don't have to think it.
Yes.
Not in your thinking. It's just, wow, that's amazing. What was a transformation that you had?
So my life completely changed in, I would say, 2 years after coming across John and working with Divine Mother's Energy. The changes that I experienced, so first thing is I began to channel that energy. And that's how I started creating these meditations, which people just listen to and they begin to change from within.
Wow.
And there are different levels of this channeling ability through meditations, through consciously channeling, vocally channeling, all these things. This is where I also began to kind of receive and download things that I needed. So including the meditations, this book that I wrote, the idea for this book and another book that I created, it all came as a download where I got pretty much the blueprint of the book. I didn't have the exact details, but I got the blueprint that I should create something which is a step-by-step approach. There are steps in this journey. These are the steps. And then I took some time to expand on them, but this is something that I just received.
Wow. Wow. All right. I hate to take our break here because this is so fascinating, but all right, we'll be right back after a word from our sponsor, and then we'll continue where we left off. So thank you. This is fascinating. Okay.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving. It's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
Somewhere on Earth, there are 4 acres that belong to you. You don't need to be there in person, only there in purpose, protecting it, defending it, keeping it alive. Because the world doesn't need more good intentions. It needs more meaningful actions. Register your interest at 4acresearth.com.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Thank you, as always, to our sponsors. We appreciate your generosity and for making this show possible. And now we're back to Dr. K. So are you looking to create leaders or connect with other?
It's both.
Leaders or both?
It's both. Some people are inspired. Now, a lot of women they don't think of themselves as leaders, because they see this masculine energy that's there in current leadership and they think, I can't do that. But feminine energy is exactly what we need to evolve as a race, where we have to have leadership driven by love and compassion and not just the results.
Wow. It's exactly what I left this morning. It's only about results, and you suck if you don't do it, and you're a loser, you know? I mean, really, that's what...
And we keep destroying ourselves and others in the pursuit of results because we don't understand the whole.
Right. Okay, so let's say you created these leaders with feminine energy, love, and compassion. What would they be doing? I mean, I could just feel the energy shift when I said that. Wow. What would they be doing? Or is it not about doing? Is it just about
being? It is a balance of both energies. Yeah. But what they will be doing is bringing light to planet, bringing light to people, empowering people the right way, not just controlling them. Mm. And what I want to also bring to the table is that leadership, when people think about leadership, they think about thinking as a leader. But just like everything else, leadership is actually an energetic thing where people are attracted to your energy. Mm. That's why they want to follow you. And they are willing to go through inconvenience to really be part of the mission that you have. If you look at leaders, I started studying the real leaders of history, people like Gandhi and Lincoln and Martin Luther King Jr. And there is a very different way they think. There's a very different way they connect with people. They have a very strong sense of mission. Mm. And all of these things are energetic in nature. So my goal is to empower people, whether they are part of other organizations or however way they want to contribute, I want to give them some energies that I received from Divine Mother, which are specific to leadership.
Mm. Wow. So not the ones we've been doing.
Yes.
Right? Not.
No, these are some advanced energies.
Yeah, yeah. Wow. And when you say light workers, how would you describe them? You're creating light workers.
Yeah. Yes. If you look at common human beings, they are pretty much concerned with themselves. Their whole life is around them, maybe a few family members, and that's the end of their concern. A light worker, on the other hand, is concerned with how do we bring light to the planet, not just to me and my family, but to the entire planet. And that's the whole point of a light worker. Just like a wood worker or a metal worker,
mm-hmm.
who can take something raw and create something beautiful out of it, a light worker is concerned with, first of all, raising their own light and then helping others raise their consciousness. So it's the two-step journey where there's a lot of inner work, where we do these practices to raise our own consciousness first, because that's how we can empower. And then the second part is we figure out what's the best way for me to help others. It could be as a teacher or a healer or a leader, whatever way works for every person, that's different. But we have to figure something out that aligns with our soul purpose. And we have to cultivate our own gifts so that we can be the source of light for others.
So why do we think we have to figure it out and think
because
about
that's
it?
That's how this masculine energy works. It's all about figuring out. It's very logical.
Yeah. And so the feminine is different. How?
It's intuitive.
Oh. Okay. Where, so you kind of have to put the masculine.
Yes, we have to
take a nap. Take a nap. I'm going over here for a little while, and with the intuitive, it's a lot more gentle and peaceful over there, right?
Like, right.
The other one is just, it's exhausting.
Yes. It's very ego-driven, where the ego has to figure everything out, and it has to create a plan, and a five-year plan, and then you have to go through the planets. But it doesn't work in this world, especially today, where everything is so unpredictable.
Yeah.
Even if you create the best plan, it's going to be out of the window pretty soon.
Right.
So you have to learn how to tap within and access the wisdom that's already there.
Wow. Woo. That's really cool. All right. So why don't we discuss your book? And if people want to find out more about your journey and what you're talking about, that's what you were talking about before. I don't know if I can hold it up without it.
I can show it.
Okay. All right. So there's his book. It's called Spiritual Transformation, 12 Steps to Freedom, Joy, and Your Highest Self. I recommend it highly. It's easy to read. It's not technical. It just is very well organized so that you can keep going and experience it yourself. So go ahead, tell them about your offer, please.
Yeah. So what I'm going to do is everybody on this call can get this book for free. You have to just pay for the shipping. So the shipping will be $9.95. But other than the shipping, you get the book for free, which is still a very good deal. And this is a good foundation because what we are trying to do is I'm trying to help you think in a different way about spirituality. Most of us, when we think about spirituality, it's very outside because it comes from outside. It comes from religion. It comes from a certain set of rules, right? True spirituality is within because the spirit is within. The spirit is not outside. So this book will give you the foundational framework of how to think in a different manner. But I don't just stop there. I want to take you on a journey. And that's where these 12 steps come into play. Because the true power of spirituality is not just about meditation and yoga. It's about living a more effective life. That's the whole point of spirituality, which means you should be able to manage your finances, manage your health, manage your relationships. All of these are parts of spirituality. And that's why I wrote this book. So there'll be a link that will be posted here. If you go to that link, you'll see an offer to get the book for free. All you do is pay for shipping, and then you get the book. And then once you read the book, of course, you are welcome to join Children of Infinity. It's a closed community right now because we want to, it's like a semester in college. You want to make sure people come together. They start on a journey. There are guided journeys that we offer. But once you read the book, you'll get the information on how to join this community. The other thing is, we also run these special weekends. Like there's an energy healing weekend. We run some challenges. Like there's a 7-day healing challenge where for 7 days, there are certain set of lessons and activations and energy. So once you buy this book, you'll get on that email list where you can get access to these events, which are community events. So those of you who want to try this energetic meditation with Divine Mother, you get to experience it firsthand.
Yes, and I recommend it highly. I just was guided there, and now I love it. It's unique, but it's very, it just feels right. It feels peaceful and right. So, okay, so in our last minute and a half, what would be your vision for the world? I don't know, 5 years or something, if you created and met with leaders in the spiritual domain, how do you see the world looking at that point?
We are very disconnected at this point. If you look at our problems, they all come from this separation, which you can also call ego. It's one country against another country. It's one political party against another one. It's race, class, and all these things. And the problem with this is a very tribal way of living, where there's one tribe and another tribe, and they're constantly fighting. But there's a different way to live, and that is as one consciousness. That is the idea of unity consciousness, where each one of us has unique gifts. It's not like we become just like everybody else. But it's the true meaning of harmony. If you look at an orchestra, every instrument is different. And every instrument is playing something different. But still, the overall thing is harmonious because the notes are working together to create this beauty. And that's my vision, where leaders can come together, offer different ways for people to go to the next stage in their evolution. And with that one consciousness, and having that mission of raising planetary consciousness, we can create lasting change.
Wow. Thank you. Thank you for your courage, for stepping into where you were guided, for, not being afraid to, when you thought it might be weird, you did it anyway and you embraced it. And just thank you for what you're doing for the world, for your community, for all of us. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Great to have you.
Thank you for listening to the Getting Real with Hillary show on UK Health Radio. If today's conversation resonated with you, take a moment to reflect, share, or simply be with what you heard. Until next time, this is Hillary Burns, inviting you to stay curious, stay connected, and keep getting real.